Blog Talk Radio. Brianna Densher, and you are listening to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group and Corporation promotes literacy for children and adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-age children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschooled students. This week's show is dedicated to 19th century American poet and writer Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Episode is in recognition of National Poetry Month of April that my show is celebrating. Visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org or contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-0247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Educational Group for the week. John Paulding Days will be celebrated on July 8th through 9th, 2016. The New Heights Educational Group has been invited as a local nonprofit to be a food and game vendor. We are looking for volunteers to see if anyone is interested in setting up a game or food booth at John Paulding Days as a fundraiser for our nonprofit organization. Please reach out to us if you're interested in attending. Sadia Ayaz was recently nominated for state level recognition in the 2016 Prudential Spirit of Community Awards program. Prudential was impressed with her commitment and energy she has displayed. Presented annually by Prudential Financial in partnership with the National Association of Secondary School Principals, the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards honors young people across America for outstanding volunteer service. The New Heights Educational Group of Defiance, Ohio, nominated Sadia Ayaz for national honors last fall in recognition of her volunteer service. Ms. Ayaz is Vice President of the organization's National Student Leadership Council and a former radio host. She also helps with research and document and certificate building. Now back to today's show on Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and my absolute appreciation and dedication to National Poetry Month of April. So to begin our show today, I thought it would be a very good idea to share with you one of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poems called The Day Is Done. And the poem was published by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in 1844 as the proem, also as the preface, to an anthology of poems called The Waif. The anthology was just a whole pile of poems by other authors that Longfellow really liked and put together into a book. He added this one poem, The Day Is Done, as his own work at the beginning as a way of introducing all of the other poems that were written by other authors. So while he's introducing other people's poems, he's also using his own poem to describe and defend his own unique poetic style. The Day Is Done by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The day is done, and the darkness falls from the wings of night. As a feather is wafted downward from an eagle in its flight, I see the lights of the village gleam through the rain and the mist, and a feeling of sadness comes o'er me that my soul cannot resist. A feeling of sadness and longing that is not akin to pain and resembles sorrow only as the mist resembles the rain. Come, read to me some poem, some simple and heartfelt lay that shall soothe this restless feeling and banish the thoughts of day. Not from the grand old masters, not from the bard's sublime corridors of time. For, like strains of martial music, their mighty thoughts suggest life's endless toil and endeavor. And tonight I long for rest. Read from some humbler poet, whose songs gushed from his heart as showers from the clouds of summer, tears from the eyelids start. Who, through long days of labor and nights devoid of ease, still heard in his soul the music of wonderful melodies. Such songs have power to quiet the restless pulse of care. And come benediction that follows after prayer. Then read from the treasured volume the poem of thy choice, and lend to the rhyme of the poet the beauty of thy voice, and the night shall be filled with music, and the cares that infest the day shall fold their tents like the Arabs, and as silently steal away. This was a beautiful poem written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and as I mentioned earlier, this poem was used in the book that he compiled, the anthology. This poem was used to introduce the rest of the poems, and you can see how he is praising the style of the poets in the anthology, as well as claiming his own voice and his poem. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was born in Portland, Maine, which was then still part of Massachusetts, on February 27, 1807, the second son in a family of eight children. His mother was the daughter of a Revolutionary War hero, and his father was a prominent Portland lawyer and later a member of Congress. Henry was a dreamy boy who loved to read. He heard sailors speaking Spanish, French, and German in the Portland streets, and liked stories set in foreign places, The Arabian Nights, Robinson Crusoe, and the plays of Shakespeare. So he was certainly exposed to a lot of great literature at a young age, which later on inspired him to write himself. After graduating from Bois Douin College, Longfellow studied modern languages in Europe for 3 years, then returned to Bowdoin to teach them. In 1831, he married Mary Storr Potter of Portland, a former classmate, and soon published his first book, a description of his travels called Overseas, Outre Mer. But in November 1835, during his second trip to Europe, Longfellow's life was shaken when his wife died during a miscarriage. The young teacher spent a grief-stricken year in Germany and Switzerland. Longfellow took a position at Harvard in 1836. 3 years later, at the age of 32, he published his first collection of poems, Voices of the Night, followed in 1841 by ballads and other poems. Many of these poems, for example, A Psalm of Life, showed people triumphing over adversity. And in a struggling young nation, that theme was certainly inspiring. And I will be sharing later today poem A Psalm of Life, which is certainly an incredible poem. And I was absolutely fell in love with it after reading it because of its such powerful message. And it's something that can be related to by everyone, really. And it's certainly an incredible work that Longfellow was able to write and use to inspire other people and especially to appeal to others during the struggle of the American years. So both books were very popular, but Longfellow's growing duties as a professor left him little time to write more. In addition, Frances Appleton, a young woman from Boston, had refused his proposal of marriage. Frances finally accepted his proposal the following spring, ushering in the happiest 18 years of Longfellow's life. The couple had 6 children, 5 of whom lived to adulthood, and the marriage gave him new confidence. In 1847, he published Evangeline, a book-length poem about what would now be called ethnic cleansing. The poem takes place as the British drive the French from Nova Scotia, and 2 lovers are parted, only to find each other years later when the man is about to die. And I think this would be a good time for me to share another one of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poems. And this one is called Today We Make the Poet's Words Our Own. Today we make the poet's words our own and utter them in plaintive undertone. Nor to the living only be they said, but to the other living, called the dead, whose dear paternal images appear, not wrapped in gloom, but robed in sunshine here, whose simple lives, complete and without flaw, were part and parcel of great nature's law, who said not to their Lord as if afraid, "Here is thy talent in a napkin laid," but labored in their sphere as men who live in the delights that work alone can give. Peace be to them, eternal peace and rest, and the fulfillment of the great yes. Ye have been faithful over a few things, shall ye reign as kings. So this is certainly a darker poem that Longfellow used to praise and to talk about the people who are dead, who are no longer living with us. And in the poem, he writes that the poem is dedicated to the other living called the dead. And I think it's pretty interesting how he's playing with this theme of dedicating the poem not to people who are living, but to those who are no longer with us. And I think that's pretty interesting about Longfellow's work, how different and unique all of his poems are, and how he touches on different themes of poetry, his writing. So in 1854, Longfellow decided to quit teaching to devote all of his time to poetry. He published Hiawatha, a long poem about Native American life, and the courtship of Miles Standish, and other poems. Both books were immensely successful, but Longfellow was now preoccupied with national events. With the country moving toward the Civil War, he wrote Paul Revere's Ride, A Call for Courage in the Coming Conflict. And I want to share with you his poem, Paul Revere's Ride, as it is certainly a very popular American poem, especially for its themes of relating to the American Civil War. Paul Revere's Ride by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friends, if the British march by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light. One if by land, and two if by sea. And I on the opposite shore will be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm, for the country folk to be up and to arm. Then he said, good night, and with muffled oar, silently rode to the Charlestown shore. Just as the moon rose above the bay, where swinging wide at her moorings lay, the Somerset, British man of war, a phantom ship's mast and spar, crossed the moon like a prison bar. And a huge black hook that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Meanwhile, his friend through alley and street wanders and watches with eager ears, till in the silence around him he hears the muster of men at the barrack door, the sound of arms and the tramp of feet, and the measured tread of the grenadiers marching down to their boats on the shore. Then he climbed the tower of the old North Church. By the wooden stairs he tread to the belfry chamber overhead, and startled the pigeons from their perch on the somber rafters that round him made masses and moving shapes of shade. By the trembling ladder, steep and tall, to the highest window in the wall. where he paused to listen and look down. A moment on the roof of the town and the moonlight flowing over all. Beneath in the churchyard lay the dead in their night encampment on the hill. Wrapped in silence so deep and still that he could hear, like a sentinel's tread, the watchful night wind as it went, creeping along from tent to tent, and seeming to whisper, "All is well." A moment only he feels the spell, place and the hour, and the secret dread of the lonely belfry and the dead. For suddenly all his thoughts are bent on a shadowy something far away, where the river widens to meet the bay, a line of black that bends and floats on the rising tide like a bridge of boats. Meanwhile, impatient to mount and ride, booted and spurred with a heavy stride, on the opposite shore walked Paul Revere. Now he patted his horse's side. Now he gazed at the landscape far and near. Then, impetuous, stamped the earth and turned and tightened his saddle girth. But mostly he watched with eager search the belfry tower of the old North Church as it rose above the graves on the hill, lonely and spectral and somber. And lo, as he looks on the belfry's height, a glimmer and then a gleam of light. He springs to the saddle, the bridle he turns, but lingers and gazes till full on his sight. A second lamp in the belfry burns. A hurry of hoots in a village street, a shape in the moonlight, a bulk in the dark, struck out by a steed flying fearless and fleet. That was all. And yet, through the gloom and the light, the fate of a nation was riding that night. And the spark struck out by that steed in its flight kindled the land into flame with its heat. He has left the village and mounted the steep, and beneath him, tranquil and broad and deep, is the mystic meeting the ocean tides. And under the alders that skirt its edge, now soft on the sand, now loud on the ledge, is heard the tramp of his steed as he rides. It was 12 by the village clock when he crossed the bridge into Medford town. He heard the crowing of the cock and the barking of the farmer's dog of the river fog that rises after the sun goes down. It was 1 by the village clock when he galloped into Lexington. He saw the gilded weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, black and bare, gaze at him with a spectral glare, as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would look upon. It was 2 by the village clock when he came to the bridge in Concord town. He heard the bleating of the flock and the twitter of birds among the trees, the breath of the morning breeze blowing over the meadow brown. And one was safe and asleep in his bed. Who at the bridge would be first to fall? Who that day would be lying dead, pierced by a British musket ball? You know the rest. In the books you have read, how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball from behind each fence and farmyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane, then crossing the fields to emerge again under the trees at the turn of the road, and only pausing to fire and load. So through the night rode Paul Revere, and so through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, and a word that shall echo forevermore. For born on the night wind of the past, our history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere. So this is certainly a poem that has a lot of courage and power in it. And modern critics of the poem actually emphasize its many historical inaccuracies. But Longfellow's poem, this poem, continues to be credited with creating the national legend of Paul Revere. The poem, along with many of Longfellow's other works, definitely helped shape the American character and its legacy, and it's certainly a poem that will continue to be read and studied and enjoyed by generations to come, as it's certainly a powerful element of the Civil War and the war that the American people were engaged in. A few months after the war began in 1861, Frances Longfellow was sealing an envelope with wax when her dress suddenly caught on fire. Despite her husband's desperate attempts to save her, she died the next day. Profoundly saddened, Longfellow published nothing for the next 2 years. He found comfort in the family and in reading Dante's Divine Comedy. When the Civil War ended in 1865, the poet was 58. His most important work was finished, but his fame kept growing. In London alone, 24 different companies were publishing his work. His poems were popular throughout the English-speaking world, and they were widely translated, making him the most famous American of his day. His admirers included Abraham Lincoln and Charles Dickens. From 1866 to 1880, Longfellow published 7 more books of poetry, and his 75th birthday in 1882 was celebrated across the country. but his health was falling, and he died the following month, on March 24th. Longfellow was such an admired figure in the United States during his life that his 70th birthday in 1877 took on the air of a national holiday with parades, speeches, and, most importantly, the reading of his poetry. I think it would be an excellent idea to end our segment with another one of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poems. And we talked a little bit about this poem at the beginning of our segment. This poem is called A Psalm of Life by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. A Psalm of Life, the heart of the young man said to the psalmist, "Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb, driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, howe'er pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present. Heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait." In this poem, Longfellow talks about the importance of life and definitely living life to the absolute fullest, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, but really living in the present time. He has taken life experiences and shown us how we need to live every day like there is absolutely no tomorrow, to live in the moment, to live in the present, and to live life to the absolute fullest, to enjoy life, and to do whatever pleases you, for that is what life is really for. That is what life is really about. And I think it's absolutely incredible. And I love the message of this poem, to always be yourself, to not worry about anything else, to live in the moment. Thank you to everyone for tuning in to this week's show. Tune in next week to a special episode that I am dedicating to music, poetry, and education. Once again, thank you to everyone for tuning in every week on Fridays on my show. Don't forget that my show is every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and I will see you all next time. Bye, guys.